of us today. House Bill 304 and House Bill 484, and let the record show we have Representative Salmon, Representative Wilson, almost called you Olson, and Representative Elkins and Co-Chair Thomas. So this time, I don't know how the order was, but so we'll start with the Representative Coghill's bill number 304, HB 304. Come forward and make your presentation. We got to drag Woody back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
State your name and affiliation for the record.
I am Representative Coghill. I represent Santa Claus in the North Pole area. And Santa Claus has got a whole new look this year.
I think Santa Claus is looking at a building of mine in Ketchikan.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a true story. Mike is down there.
Really? I have a new affinity with Ketchikan. Mr. Chairman.
Should we move your CS first?
I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Is there a motion to move the CS?
I so move.
You have no objection, CS?
No, that version.
/ I is here in front of us. And you also have an amendment you wish to.
I do.
You have that in front of you all?
Yes.
And the amendment will go to page 2, and I could explain the reason for the amendment and the reason for the bill.
Okay.
I'll give you the short version of why I brought the bill forward.
Okay.
This has been something I've been kind of putzing along on working for probably, this is my fourth year, I think, or fifth year, maybe, where I was trying to think of how the Division of Investments under the Fishing Revolving Loan Fund should work. And my first action or reaction was to take it off the statutes, to let all the people go, to disassemble all the whole program. That was my first thought, Mr. Chairman. That was probably not the best way to go, but that was my first thought. And it stems from an idealism that I have, that I think the private sector is a better way to do things than have the government in the business of loaning money or in the business of operating companies. So that's kind of the philosophy it stems from. But I found out through kind of beating my head against the brick wall for a number of years that there is a reason for the safety net part of this program, and that is we had a real tough fisheries industry that really hit the bottom over the last few years. And you got to know that I'm not totally without observation or compassion.
Okay.
So I have been convinced that this is a reasonable program. And so what I'm trying to do is say, okay, if it's going to be that safety net, then it should really be that safety net. And that is to not compete with private industry as much as possible, to allow us to work with fishermen so that they can actually service their debt. There's only a couple places in Alaska where you can actually borrow money based on your permit, and that would be here at the Division of Investments and in the CFAB group. And I found out after wandering into this that I wandered into a debate that had been going on for some time. So I probably am not real liked by either one of them right now. But I actually have them both sitting in a room with me here. So what I thought I'd do, Mr. Chairman, is to try to squeeze down the amount that a person can borrow so that it's actually serviceable. But it really is something you can get for either tacking a boat or rigging a boat, I guess you could say, or getting a boat and keeping a family able to go through the hard times. And I think the process of being able to refinance and whatnot has allowed that to happen. Part of my focus has been that if we're going to have people out there competing with each other in the same fishery, that there's some equitability on servicing that debt, because some people will be doing it through a private organization, and this one through a public organization. But as I said before, I've been convinced that we want to keep the fishing licenses in Alaska. We want to keep the fishing families in Alaska whole as much as possible. But I think there's a real recognition when it's economically possible, when it's not economically possible. I've been convinced the Division of Investments under the Revolving Loan Fund for Fisheries Revolving Loan Fund has probably been very helpful there. This allows the refinancing of $200,000, and I think that's pretty good. That also allows for financing of tax debt, which I think was important. But it also says that the person has to have a little more skin in the game, and that is instead of financing or refinancing 90%, it would be you'd have to securitize at 80%. So you'd have to have your 20% in. And I think that's reasonable. And that way, I think there's going to be less and less defaults and refinancing, quite frankly. And then the other thing is adjusting the rate. Instead of a flat 10.5%, we're taking it to the prime plus 2, which I think is actually a better way of doing it. I wish I could claim the intelligence for that, but sitting behind me are the people that really have the intelligence for that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that you turn to page 2, and there's an amendment that when I was looking at the bill yesterday, I realized that that I had made a mistake, and that was on page 2, line 13 and 14. On line 13, I really intended that for it to be an and, because what I want to do is say all of those things, and you want to. I don't want you to get a loan if you're eligible someplace else. And that's, and actually on page 2, line 10, instead of deleting the or, it's actually leaving the or there. So it would be fishing or is economically, and then in line 13, Alaska and is not eligible for financing from a recognized commercial lending institution. So what I really want to do is say we want the lending institutions to get the first shot at it and then the state to be the last shot at it. And if you can't get it somewhere else, then under these conditions, we'll lend to you. I think that's the appropriate way to go. With that, Mr. Chairman, there are some to testify. I would request that you add the amendment in and then debate the bill accordingly.
Thank you. Is there a motion adopt to take the amendment?
I move to adopt the amendment.
Seeing no objection, the amendment is adopted.
Can I ask a question?
Question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Cargill, is there a way or would it be practical for us to go into more of the guarantee business than the actual loan business?
I don't know that I can answer that question, Representative. I had actually considered maybe we should turn this into a grant program, but I really do want people to be able to service their debt, and this is kind of the last resort. This is the place you go last of all. So to turn it into, I think it is actually in some shades a guarantee program in that you can refinance. And there are flexibility issues in here that aren't in almost any other banking institute. So I think in some ways it is. And I would defer to those who know that business better than
you.
I wouldn't want to intimate something that's not true.
Okay, what the record is to show that Speaker Harris is here and Representative Kapsner also. So they've joined us.
And we do have two people here to testify. Leela?
No? Greg? Okay, we have Greg Winninger from the Division of Investments. Do you know those questions? Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Name and affiliation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Greg Winninger, Director of the Division of Investments. Appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. And as Representative Coghill has explained, we've been working with him for quite some time on this bill, and we certainly appreciate his willingness to listen to the concerns that we had on the original bill, and we feel much better about the CS in front of you right now. This is a program, maybe just to give you some real quick background on this program. It's been around for a long time, since the early 70s. And essentially, the legislature set it up because they realized at the time that a large portion of our fleet out there would have a difficult time getting financing through normal channels. So essentially, they wanted to create a program that would ensure that fishermen could continue to participate in our fisheries. We've looked over the CS, and we don't see any difficulties with it. We believe that it's not going to cause major problems for the program or its participants. I would certainly be glad to answer any questions you might have about the bill. There is a fiscal note that we attached that has a very small fiscal impact, and I could talk about that if you would like as well. Also, in regards to the amendment, we have no difficulty with the amendment either. That was the intent. Under Section B, the idea is that that you would qualify for Section B of the program if you do not have other sources of financing available. So we do agree with the amendment to the CS as well, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yep. Speaker Harris?
Greg, can you tell me how much money is in this commercial fisherman revolving loan fund at this point?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, we have about an $81 million portfolio. On top of that, at the end of FY05, we had about $27 million in cash in the fund itself. And, of course, that goes up and down as you go through the year.
What's the rate of, Mr. Chairman, what's the rate of repayment? Is it pretty successful and pretty good?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, yes. Actually, right now we've got about a 5% delinquency rate, 6.4% if you consider default and delinquency. Mm-hmm. And a number of those folks we're actually working with on extension. So I would say it's a very good delinquency rate, especially considering it's a fairly high-risk portfolio.
Do you, Mr. Chairman, do you also, I have a couple of lines of question here I'm thinking about.
Sure. It.
Do you also loan to processors?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, not under this program, other than we can make loans to tenders for product quality improvement loans. We do have two other small business programs that allow us to make loans to processors, but not under this particular program.
And do you feel that, do you think that, as with the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund, is there any general funds that's ever been put back into this? Is it on a... And let's say in the recent 10 years, has there been any general funds put in to help stabilize or hold up the revolving loan fund?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, there was actually about $60 million that was put into the program back in the 70s and early 80s. There's been actually no money go back into this fund since FY1985. And in fact, what has happened is, of the $60 million that went in, there's actually been $93 million that's been transferred back out. About $52 million of that has actually gone back to the general fund or to pay for other types of programs. And there's just been no, it's been totally self-sufficient.
So the revolving loan fund itself has made money?
It has made money, continues to make money.
And continues to make money?
Yes.
Okay. And do the fishermen benefit by that? I mean, do they get a little bit better percentage loans than they might get out of the commercial lending institutions?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, yes, these are low-interest loans. We have programs like the Pay on Time program, which provides for an interest rate for making payments on time. We also have fairly flexible extension procedures so that if we have somebody that runs into difficulty, we have various ways we can help them, which is something the legislature designed to deal with kind of the ups and downs of fishing.
Are they able to use the loans? Are they able to get loans to be used for such things as paying off taxes or tax delinquency or any of that kind of stuff? Can you do that as well?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Harris, we do have a part of the program, a fairly small part, that does allow us to make loans. If somebody gets into difficulty with the IRS and they're in danger of maybe losing that limited entry permit, we have a program to help them, yes.
There's no, I mean, that's going to get a different issue, but there's no provision out there right now for the state to buy back limited entry permits, is there?
through the chair, Representative Harris, not that I'm aware of, we don't have any buyback program within this program at all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg, in the 6 years that I've been here, you know, it seems like almost every year, in fact, that the state takes money out of that fund and puts it into the general fund to balance the budget. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, that is correct, that we've had over $50 million. It's actually been transferred out. And, in fact, in this year's budget, I think it's $1.96 million is actually going to go to the Department of Fish and Game to help them with their budget. And we had a similar situation last year. So that's correct. There has been money that's coming from the earnings of this fund that is being used to pay for other services. Also, I might add that there is the cash in the fund also generates income that can range anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million that goes directly to the general fund. That's on top of these appropriations.
Well, I just think, just follow up, and just would like to make some comments. I think this is a wonderful program, and the fact that fishermen can come to you and get a loan. Nowhere else can they do that in a world where, with fishing, it's a bust year 1 year, and the next year it might be great, you know. And so for fishermen to be able to work with you, and you knowing what's happening in the fishing industry, are able to help people and sometimes help them over the bad times when they can't do what they would like to make payments. There's nowhere else that a fisherman can go in a world of changing markets and also fish return. So anyway, I just think it's a wonderful program, and I'm very concerned that this program stays intact and continues doing the job for my constituents that it's been doing, because it does a fantastic job, and I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Representatives.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, Greg, can you tell us, maybe somebody else here is going to testify, they probably are. Well, Bob's probably going to testify. I want to ask him what the commercial fishing community thinks about this piece of legislation. I'll let Bob answer.
Okay. Jerry McEwen is in the back there, too.
Jerry, there he is.
I just want to also let the record know that as a commercial fisherman, I don't qualify for this loan.
Why not?
Too successful, actually. Yeah, that's what they said. So I took this job, but maybe I'll...
this will qualify for you if there
I'll
ever was one.
I'll qualify. A few more years here, I'll be ready for the plan.
A couple more years and a couple trips to Vegas. You'll be in great shape, right?
That may be sooner than I think. Yeah. Okay, Jerry, did you want to testify?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jerry McEwen. I represent the United Fishermen of Alaska. Originally, we opposed the original bill, UFA did. We didn't think that was the way to go. But with the sponsor working with the two lending institutes, I think I don't have official position because I'm waiting for the board to get back to me. As we all know, I have a huge board. It takes a while. It's not like a VHF where we can call each other. It takes a while to get something back. But so anyway, in the meantime, looking at the bill over, I'm not going to speak for the board, but I think the sponsors came a long ways and the two lending institutions got together. I don't see any problems myself right now, but we'll monitor it as it goes along, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jerry. Questions?
Jerry, as I read the sponsor statement, and maybe with the amendments and some other CS, I don't know if the sponsor statement is referenced to the CS or not, but basically the bill is looking at reducing the amount a person could borrow from $300,000 to $200,000, is that correct? Is that the new CS?
Yep.
And it kind of tightens up some of the earnings or interest rates or something?
Increases your collateral from 90 to 80%.
Okay, all right.
Or 20% actually.
So you're comfortable enough for your organization. You know, and I spoke in front of your organization, about a month ago now, maybe it was. I didn't hear this bill was the one that was mentioned. Was it laying out in the weeds, or what was the deal? It wasn't on your radar screen?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, We've opposed the original bill pretty much for the last 5 years. But apparently, you know, the bill this year hasn't ever surfaced for us to speak to that particular bill, knowing that parties were working on it. So we waited till something was going to happen, or there was going to be a different draft of it, or before we really wanted to say anything. So we want to make sure that, the rural community, especially way out there in the different villages, have an opportunity to be able to get a loan. And this loan program gives them that opportunity, especially young folks that don't have a track record with any bank. When I was a kid, I went to CFAB, and they said, well, you got to get a track record. Well, I was never a captain, so I finally got a loan and got going. But, you know, some things, and that's nothing against CFAB or any other lending institution. Lots of times you got to have some kind of credit. Where this program really plugs in, it lets help a lot of folks out there that's never had a loan, or younger folks have 2 years experience, and be able to have the Division Investments look at them and see if they're qualified to be in that fishery, especially in places where there's no other opportunities. So that would be our concern, to make sure that, you know, it's still a good opportunity for a lot of younger folks and stuff to get into the fishery. That's what it was intended for in that original, when they originally started the Division Investments, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions?
Chairman, I just want to make a little more of a comment than anything else. as I look over this bill, I'm in a quandary, because the sponsor is a good friend of mine, and I don't think I've ever voted against one of his bills, and probably don't intend to. But I also don't want to vote and support something that's going to unduly hurt commercial fishermen either. And I think it's our job as a committee to make sure that we don't pass out legislation here that's going to unduly hurt the industry, whether it be the sport industry or the commercial industry or whatever. So I just want to make sure, because I want to support my majority leader, and I will, but don't want to hurt the industry either. So as long as you're comfortable that that's not going to happen, I'm really comfortable.
Any other questions? Anybody else in the audience wish to testify? Half an hour.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob Thorstenson, President of United Fish of Alaska. And certainly there's going to be two camps of folks at United Fish of Alaska who are going to not be excited about this change, and those are the people that have loans between $200,000 to $300,000 or anticipate having them, and people who may be from poorer, more destitute, or more stricken commercial salmon communities of Alaska that won't be able to get the 20% collateral. Now, the 10% to 20% for most of us doesn't seem like a huge leap. If you put, maybe you're one of the kind of people that put zero down on your house, but I try to put 20% because I usually buy them when they're going down. But the those are a couple provisions. But I think so. UFA is going to be still indeterminate, and I don't know that I'd want to be, you know, perhaps fostering the impression that UFA will just let it go and let it move along. It's not necessarily the case. But I think what our lobbyist, Mr. McKean, was conveying to the committee was we do have a great amount of appreciation for the sponsor of the bill and the two parties that Leah and Mr. Winninger that have been brought together, because they've done excellent work on this. And frankly, at first blush, we think that it looks like, you know, a super improved product compared to what we've been seeing the last 5 years. And for that, we're very grateful. But yeah, for, you know, the verdict's definitely not in. There may be some hiccups there, but it definitely looks a lot better than what we've seen before. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Anybody else wish to sponsor?
Just to reinforce something, Mr. Chairman. Ian just brought up the point, and I think it needs to be reinforced. The $200,000 is for refinancing only. So the $300,000 is still available, I think, for the full loan. But my attitude was, what happens is you begin to burden people with debt, and their ability then to perform gets worse and worse and worse. And so I think the refinancing, and that's why I wanted to up the level of input they had. It does make it difficult, but it also has to be reiterated that they're also competing in a world where people are financing quite a bit more and carrying a bigger load. So it's just a way of saying if you're going to work in that industry, you really need to be able to produce. So it was just the refinancing. It was a $200,000.
Sure. I may get a statement from the sponsor because I apologize. I was a little late.
You missed my opening statement, Mr.
I was talking to some of those oil guys that were fishing, oil fishing. John, what's your intent of what are you really trying to do here? You're trying to make sure that folks who refinance don't get themselves into a burden where they're in so much debt and they don't have the ability to pay it off, and just because they refinance doesn't really make their business any better, type of thing. Or what are you trying to do?
Well, when I introduced it, I gave my original intent, and then where I had come to. My original intent was to take Division of Investments out of the banking business entirely. And so I couldn't get there. And because of representative from the Wrangell area and many others who were very compelling in their arguments, my thinking was, okay, if there's only two places in the world you can get loans on for your licensing, and one of them happens to be the state of Alaska through this revolving loan fund, then how do we make it so that people don't just get into the black hole of never being able to get out of debt? Can they produce enough to manage their debt? And so there's only two organizations in Alaska right now that can do that, and one of them is CFAB and one of them is the Fishing Revolving Loan Fund. So and this one goes to the place where, as you heard, your experience counts for part of your collateral, which gives you entry into an industry, and I've been convinced on that. But just because you have experience in fishing doesn't mean you're going to be able to service that debt, and I was concerned about that. So we just tightened things up a little bit, but that's about it.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Just also that I was turned down by CFAB for not having enough gillnet experience to buy a permit in Bristol Bay, and I'd been fishing 15 to 20 years by then. Gillnetting, but
you wouldn't be turned down by these folks, though.
Well, yeah, they would have then too. So I didn't go to Bristol Bay. I stayed in Southeast.
Many of us have been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
that's what it is. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John, I have a question. Because you changed the $300,000 down to $200,000 for refinancing, what kind of a situation does that put a fisherman in then that would be falling in between there right now? He already got the loan to begin with for $300,000, and now we're putting him in a position where he can't refinance. Can you tell me exactly why you're doing that?
I think the terms become more generous as you go because of other flexibilities. What happens is, and I'll have to ask Greg to help me on this, but what happens, I think, is the entrance into the loan is tougher than the refinancing. The flexibility happens after you get into the loan, and so the terms get broader. You can refinance for longer periods of time, and what happens is, if you up the refinancing and you're not able to service the debt, then you are saddled with a heavier weight for a longer period of time. And so that was my main purpose. And for the technical side, I'd have to ask Greg to help answer that.
Representative Wilson?
I'm just concerned about that person that, might be early on in the loan that fish returns weren't good or prices dropped or for whatever reason, then you're going to be putting somebody totally out of business.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that may very well be. But, there are people that go to other banks outside of even the CFAB that have the same problem, and yet they're having to carry the full load. These folks have very flexible terms and can even surrender their license to help carry some of their back debt, even if they're out of business, whereas a bank could actually go and foreclose their house. So I think the flexibility here is very significant, If that was the only place in Alaska that you could get the loan, I might agree with you. But there are other people out there in that fleet who are carrying much more load, much more closer to the margins, if you will, and many of them have gone out of business. During the fishing fall, you know, many of them had to go out of business. And yet we were able to carry many of these folks along. So I think it's a matter of how do you view the whole world instead of just this one little world.
I agree. You probably said it right there. It's how you view it. And I guess I'm just thinking that why would you, if a business is successful, doing well, it's not like they're losing money, they're giving money to the state. It's not like they're probably doing rash things that, and they're losing money and things like that. It's been a constant, ongoing, good situation in the long run. It's kept a lot of fishermen probably in business that normally would have went bankrupt or lost their permits, whatever. So I just have a hard time with the whole concept of why you would look at it in this way when it's I don't know.
Well, it'd be just like any automobile financing, for example. If you can't make your payments and it's based on your ability to get customers, say, for your cab, and you can't make your payments, there are places where you can get loans that may be able to extend you out to keep you in business like we're doing here, or there are places where they'll just come take your cab away. You know, and in this particular case, we have given pretty extended and flexible terms, where in other banks they don't even get that under these kind of financing terms.
And I follow up, and I guess I won't say any more, and I respectfully say that because of things totally beyond a fisherman's control many times, he could be the best fisherman in the world and still be in that same situation where a cab driver, the business is still there. If he works hard, he's going to, you know, there is a little bit of difference here. So sure. Anyway.
And Mr. Chairman, I agree. We have safety nets in Alaska all over the place. But there have been many times in my life where an employer comes to me and say, we don't need you this month, and goodbye. nobody was there to catch me. And in fact, at one time they said, we don't need you this year. So I had to go figure out something else to do.
So that's why you're here now. That you're on top. This is the catch.
Yeah. Well, I've stated my original intent, and obviously I have come to an agreement that there is some need for some safety net issues. And the licensing issues in Alaska are deeply ingrained. We want to keep the fishing licenses here in Alaska. There's no doubt about that. I have come to that conclusion, and I think working together, I think this just says, okay, there's a responsibility on your part, and we're willing to give you flexible terms. So,
and just also that when I built my boat, the last one, I had to go to a bank, regular bank, and they only fund for 7 years of payments on a boat. So when you go out and borrow $120,000 on a boat, you're making the payments over 7 years versus, I believe, it's 10 and 12 with the other lending institutions here. So what I've done, and I try to tell fishermen, you take those first 3 years and you make those payments and you don't feed your kids, you know, maybe but then you refinance after 4 years and then you spread your payments back out again over a 7 year period, and it works. So you have hefty payments at the start and then you refinance to get them down. So any other questions of the sponsor? Anybody else want to testify? State your name and affiliation. And
yeah, my name is Lila Klinger, and I'm the CEO of CFAB. And I just wanted to make a comment to the refinancing portion of the bill. That particular section deals with refinancing loans with other lenders. It's not refinancing loans internally through the Division of Investments. So I think that might help answer some of your question. And the reason that the reduction is that's one area of the bill that actually does compete strictly with other lenders. And, you know, from credit is an art, not a science. We're not perfect. We've said no a lot of times. We'd like to have, in hindsight, said yes. You know, and we said yes a lot of times. We wish we would have said no. So what I think that has been expressed here, and what I'm very appreciative of the representative and of Mr. Winiger and the rest of them, is that this has been a collaborative effort. And as I said, this started 5 years ago, and I think that we've come to some common ground. Is it perfect? I wouldn't think so. You probably don't, but it's a starting point. And the point being that I think you do need a lender of last resort, which is what the Division Investments was meant to be and should be. I think you need a CFAB, and CFAB was created to fill that void that the division didn't fill. It's kind of like we look at it as the division was meant for those guys starting out, and you hope that through that process they would get to be able to go to a CFAB or somebody else, and then eventually they hopefully wouldn't need us, or they could go to a Wells Fargo or a KeyBank. I mean, it's kind of a gradual process. We aren't meant for startup operations, and fishing is high risk. I mean, lending is risky enough, but fishing is extremely high risk. The Division of Investments and CFAB have a longstanding history of working with the industry and trying to, when there's a light at the end of the tunnel, to make it work for everybody, because that's all we can do. I mean, that's our base. We have nowhere else to go, and we want to keep the industry alive. But sometimes keeping it alive doesn't mean catering or subsidizing or making it go longer than it should. It sometimes results in hard decisions that aren't very favorable.
Questions? Seeing none, thank you. Anybody else? No, we'll close public testimony. Wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Elkins?
I'd move CS for House Bill 304/I with individual recommendation and accompanying physical.
Jack, just a minute. Has the amendment been offered?
Yes.
Oh, it's already been
adopted, the CS and everything.
Okay, I remove my objection.
Hearing no other objections, the bill will be moved. Thank you. At this time, we'll bring up HB 484.
Just stay here.
You can go up. We want to look at you, Peggy. This is Representative Wilson's bill, so... Put her in the seat.
I'll just have to tube this one.
Name and affiliation.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. And I am carrying this bill. The Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission asked me to carry the bill. And so I agreed to do so. Under current statutes, a group of fishermen may form an association and vote to tax themselves for the purpose of buying back salmon permits. Now, because that's already in statute and that's something that is there, the Southeast Seiners Association is considering a buyback program for their permits. During the discussion, when they were just discussing whether they should do this or not, the point was raised, what would happen if we buy the permits back and then at some point in the future, the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission turns around and sells permits back to the fishery? And so that was their dilemma. What happens? We put the money out to buy the permits, and then down the line, they decide to go ahead and put these permits up for sale. And so they just want a guarantee that if that happens, that they get the money back for that. And that's all this bill does, is just take care of that. It just makes it clear that in the unlikely event that CFEC sells more permits than were previously purchased by the or permits that were previously purchased by the association, that the legislature may appropriate the money back to that association. It's just the original people that put the money out, that if that would happen, they're trying to make that decision right now, and they want to make sure that they're safe here. And so Simply put, it's a buyback. If there's a resale, then they get a payback. And it's supported by the, obviously, by the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, who, and Frank Holman from CFEC is here to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, maybe we should adopt the CS. I see it. I thought it was just the bill, but I see a CS in front of us also. The motion to adopt the CS.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt a CS for House Bill 484/G.
Okay, no objections. Representative Elkin, question?
Thank you, Mr. I just have one question of Representative Wilson. Why may instead of shall?
Well, because of the, our Constitution says that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the CS, the only change is that it just makes it very clear that the Fisheries Association that did the buyback in the beginning, in the first place, is the association that can receive the payback.
I guess the bill really does make the intent still there.
Right. So.
Any other questions? You may come back and join us. Anybody in the audience wish to testify? Name and affiliation.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Frank Holman with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. And I wouldn't add much more other than our support for the bill. And we've been working with one fishery association, and this came up. And the state, through the CFEC, always retains the ability to monitor all the limited fisheries. And if sometime in the future, either through our analysis or through a court decision, we would be required to put more permits, sell more permits back into a fishery. We didn't want to have the association disadvantaged because they went out and borrowed funds to have their private buyback, so that if they still were in a situation of having a debt responsibility, that the funds that the state would receive from selling additional permits would go to retire that debt.
Representative Elkins, question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why only if they're still packing debt?
Well, it could be for the money they expended.
Okay.
Before, yes.
It could be both.
Money expended or the debt
they
incurred.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else wish to testify?
I'll be exceptionally brief. Bob Thorsonson, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
President of UFA and Executive Director of Southeast Sanders, both UFA and Southeast Sanders support this legislation. Although it's exceptionally simple housekeeping, the lack of this language or something like it has had a chilling effect for decades on commercial fishing groups, specifically salmon groups, into looking at buybacks, because they've all said, well, we're going to spend all our money, we're going to go buy these permits back, and at the end of the day, somebody's going to take the permits out of the garbage can, take them back up and resell them, and it's going to be a waste of our time. So even though this is very simple housekeeping, and it's I don't think it'll be opposed anywhere, it's very widely supported, it's very important. I just want to reiterate that part, because it, you know, everybody says, well, it's only five or six lines and it's really simple, but it is simple nonetheless and not very controversial, but it's still very important.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, anybody else wish to testify? Wishes of the committee? Representative
Mr.
Elkin?
Chairman, I move SB for House Bill 484/G with the individual recommendations and physical motion.
And no objections. The bill moves from the committee, and we're adjourned at 9:17.